Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Eyes on the Right podcast. This is Amy. I've taken off a week. I've missed you guys. I hope you all are doing well. And yeah, I took off a week. I had a few people reaching out, making sure I was okay. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. But I will be taking time off from time to time. I'm with my family and it's been wonderful just to have a reprieve. But I'm back and I want to talk about some things today. And so I hope you guys are ready for this podcast because I want to touch on the recent debate of Pastor Greg Locke and Pastor Dean Odell. But I also want to move in to this idea of what a false teacher looks like. There's a lot of people out there really going overboard about who's a false teacher, who isn't. Are we even called to, quote unquote, call out people that we believe are false teachers? And what does scripture say about this? I think we have to go back to the basics, stand on the word of God and view the world from the biblical lens. Because if we don't, then we're leaning on our own understanding, on our own insight, and that will always lead us down a path of confusion. And I've been finding a lot of people reaching out to me, asking me, should I listen to this person? Is this person somebody that I should follow? I feel so confused because one person says one thing, I listen to this podcast and they say one thing, and then I listen to another podcast or look at another social media page or listen to another pastor and they say something completely different. And guys, this leads to confusion. It leads to stress. It leads to people questioning their faith. And so I really want to touch on that today. But before we start, let's jump into this recent debate. And if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I had on Pastor Dean Odell to talk about biblical cosmology, how God's word, I believe, and how he believes, says the earth was created and creation and the moon and the stars and the sun and what our earth looks like according to scripture. And Pastor Dean Odell has been a man of faith that I've followed for quite some time. He talks a lot about biblical cosmology. He backs it up with so much scripture, so much extra biblical resources like NASA documents and experts in the field of aeronautics and all sorts of things, engineering. And so him and Pastor Greg Locke, who is a pastor who has really kind of risen to fame in the political realm, kind of pushing this like right-wing conservative viewpoints back in 2020, 2021. And he stumbled upon Flat Earth by Pastor Dean. Now, I don't know all the specifics of how this came to be, but from what I gathered, Pastor Greg Locke, in one of his sermons, I would say kind of made fun of, if you will, this idea of biblical cosmology. You can call it flat earth, you can call it what you want, but I like to use the term biblical cosmology because I feel like it is very scriptural. And whether you agree or disagree, I would hope that you would have an open mind. And if we do disagree, that's okay, because at the core of the matter is our belief in Jesus Christ. And that's what binds us. And so whether you believe what the earth looks like scripturally, if you believe something different, that should be okay. And this was really the premise of this quote unquote debate that they did together. And it started out pretty friendly, I would say. Pastor Greg agreed to have it at his church in Tennessee. And so Pastor Dean drove up with a few of his people, prepared for it. And right away, you could see the demeanor of Pastor Greg Locke. And I say this very neutrally. I don't want to ever knee-jerk into an idea of where I am calling out one of God's shepherds. I take that very seriously. And I would really hope that others would do that, specifically in the body of Christ, because we have to be so careful with what we say about those that are leading the church. And so I say this as delicately as possible, but it started off pretty well. There were thousands of people. I can't number how many people were actually there, but there were so many online watching this. I mean, this, I believe, really went viral in this kind of realm of Christianity. And this topic in and of itself is a hot, heated topic. And so during this debate, Pastor Greg kind of laid it out. They sat very friendly in front of each other. There was a few times where it got a little hot, a little heated, but they both kept their cool. And, you know, Pastor Greg set the precedence that this was going to be a very friendly debate. Well, as things transpired, Pastor Dean got up. He had a 300-point slideshow with so much evidence, so much scripture, so many journals and news articles supporting his stance. And as he finished, it was overwhelmingly understood, at least from my end, that he was so well-read, so educated, so calm, so confident, so comfortable in his own skin. And that really stood out to me. And I make a point of that because it really seemed as if Pastor Greg, when he came up after Dean, that he just seemed restless, not settled, not prepared, didn't have, you know, kind of put down the fact that Dean had a PowerPoint, made a kind of off-the-cuff condescending comment. And this was really the common theme of Greg. I felt as a viewer that it was so inappropriate as a pastor of a mega church, really, of people that follow him, not only in Tennessee, but all over the world, who listen to him, that he just exhibited this arrogance and pride. And it was really palpable. I mean, he was very sharp in his tone and his words. He was disrespectful and condescending. And to me, he really didn't have scripture to back up his stance that he believed the world was spinning. I mean, he really didn't. He kind of went around the subject and wasn't very intentional. In fact, there were several times where I looked at my husband and I said, what is he even talking about here? This is so off topic. So fast forward, at the end of the debate, Pastor Dean came up, and basically what transpired was there was a verse that Greg brought up. It was Hebrews 11:3, and he said, through faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things that which do appear. And Greg made part of his debate and part of his side of why he believed that there were planets out there based on this verse. And when Pastor Dean came up, he corrected him and he said, you know, that word worlds there is not what you're interpreting it as. The word there is aion in the Greek, and it means an age or a period of time. And Greg Locke was interpreting that as planets. And when Pastor Dean, who is his older than Greg, corrected him, that's when you clearly saw that Greg lost it. Like, he got to a point where he kind of like came unhinged, and pretty much how it ended was he kicked Dean out, and it got a little bit heated on the stage. I believe that Pastor Dean kept his cool considering all of the horrible tantrums that Greg was throwing. I mean, it was pretty bad. It was embarrassing for a leader of the church to act that way and have no self-control in this circumstance, specifically because it's being aired online, going live, and he couldn't hold together. And so he kicked him out of the church, and he said, get out of here. And his security team came up. Pastor Dean tossed him the mic, and Greg hit the mic down out of anger. And that's how I interpreted it. And I just found it very telling, his behavior. And he was lacking self-control, Greg was. And, you know, to invite somebody there for what he wanted to be a friendly debate and to kick him out of his church. Now, this, mind you, he invited Dean there. He is a fellow brother of Christ. He should be able to hold it together long enough, despite how angry he is. But it is, in my opinion, that there is a spirit of pride and arrogancy about Greg Locke. And that's just my opinion. You can take it or leave it. And I'm not going to expound any more on him because I don't think that is edifying for the body of Christ. But in this specific circumstance, he did not exhibit the qualities of a leader. And I want to go into the book of Titus here in a little bit. But before I do, it was really interesting because the next day, Pastor Dean held a service at the Marriott where he was staying at, or the Hilton, one of the two. And many people came, they live streamed it. And there was a gentleman that came up at the end, at the very end, and he shared his testimony. And it was very telling. He said that when this all came to fruition, this debate, when it was in the works, God clearly laid on this man's heart that Pastor Greg's platform would be used to spread biblical cosmology, flat earth, and that it wouldn't be pretty. It wouldn't be something that potentially would go very well. But this man said that the Lord clearly spoke to him in his spirit, in his heart, in his mind, that he was going to use this, Greg's platform, Greg's popularity, Greg's fame, to expound upon his word. And I just thought that was really profound. According to 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, God will use or choose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And in my opinion, this is what happened here. God used Greg Locke to fulfill his will. And he does this all the time. In fact, I'm in the book of Genesis right now doing a study, and we're on the part where Jacob and Esau and Rebekah and Isaac are conniving, and there's so much deception. I mean, it's straight off of a soap opera, right? Like the way they are conniving and working and twisting things, God used that to bring about his will. And so, I mean, God will do that. He'll choose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And, you know, I mean, I really think that this is what happened in this case. And I just thought it was really interesting how at the end of all of this, Pastor Greg took everything down off of his platform, on his YouTube channel, on his social media. Pastor Dean kept it up and he kept the comments going. And I think this, you guys, is a sign of the times. And this is why I wanted to bring this up. And so this leads into the end days. The Word of God told us that at the end of the days that there would be false teachings, false teachers, that there would be people that would not want to hear the truth, that they'd want to hear just things that would tickle their ears and doctrines of devils and all sorts of things. And so here we are. I mean, a lot of us woke up in 2020. We had to break through the cognitive dissonance that we had been taught and brainwashed through our school system, through the lies of the media, through our government, about all sorts of things. And I always say this, and I'm going to say it again, right, is do you believe our government would lie to you? And if you can answer that as a yes, then you've got to question why, if you do still believe this, that our earth is spinning, that they would tell us the truth about going to the moon and living on a spinning ball. And we have multiple proof that we don't live on a spinning ball, that there is so much evidence there. And again, I'm not going to get into all of that today, but I encourage you guys, if you're still questioning that, go back to the podcast interview I did with Pastor Dean. It's very thorough. He has a ton of videos on his page that are great resources that you can kind of dive into that are so based in scripture. And you have to ask the hard question, is this true? I mean, or do I want to continue on potentially being duped? And that's a hard question for people to answer. I don't really know why people are so triggered when it comes to flat earth. I personally, when I came to this understanding, I just wanted to know. I had an open mind and I was like, God, I just want you to show me what your word says and what is true. And he did. And it was really as simple as that. And as he showed me, there was a peace that accompanied that I had never felt before in regards to creation and the earth and NASA and science. It really rang true to me. And I don't know. I think he did a great job on the debate. So I want to move into this idea of false teachers, because we live in this world now, specifically with this online virtual reality. It's not reality. It's virtual reality. And yet we have people out there who are really just calling anybody and everybody a false teacher. They're a false teacher. They're a new age teacher. They're teaching false doctrine. And while some of that can be true, a lot of it isn't. And it's not the scriptural way that we go about discerning and deciphering and putting out there who is potentially a red flag and who isn't. And so I want to dive into that, but I want to start with the book of Titus, because it tells us that the leaders and the people of the church and those that we look to for sound teaching and sound doctrine, they need to meet a specific criteria. And now after I read this, I encourage you guys to go read it yourselves, even go to 1 and 2 Timothy. As Paul is teaching his protege, Timothy, how to go about structuring the church in a way that edifies the whole body. Now, stay with me because, guys, this is going to help you online. This is going to help you in your own life to decipher what is true and what isn't. If you're coming and walking away from teachings and social media influencers who are claiming that they're Christians, and you're feeling confused and you're feeling like people are gossiping and slandering, can I just tell you that's a red flag? You've got to step back and start asking God, is this somebody that I should be eating the meat of the word from? Is this someone that is edifying me and refining me in my understanding? Is this somebody that leaves me with a peace about me, that leaves me encouraged, that leaves me hopeful? Or is this somebody that leads me into more drama, more confusion? Do their podcasts and their pages sound more like gossip columns than sound doctrinal teaching? And so in the book of Titus, Paul, he writes to Titus, he says in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I you in Crete, that you should set in order the things and ordain elders." Okay, so in this context, Paul is telling Titus, this is how you ordain elders. This is how you look at the people in the faith to appoint them to be teachers and pastors of the flock. And he goes on to say, if they're blameless, if they're a husband of one wife, having children not accused of riot or unruly, an elder or bishop should be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, so self-motivating, right? Not soon angry, not given to wine, striker, riches, but a lover of hospitality, of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Now, temperate is this idea of self-control. For me, this is a huge one. This is one of the fruit of the Spirit. People online and people who we see who are not self-controlled, who lash out, who have anger, who have tantrums, who are filled with vitriol and hatred in their comments, on their posts, on their podcast. Guys, they should not be teaching the word of God as a leader or a teacher. And I'm just going to say it because this is what it says right here. These are people that need to be examples with what they've been given. To whom much is given, much is required. And I think what's going on here, before I move on with social media, which I believe is designed specifically by the enemy to push out this idea of making a name for oneself, making oneself popular, more likes, more comments, more followers. It's all about me, right? Me, is to push out this information and to have a platform where these people would have never had a platform if social media wasn't around. They would never have a platform because A, they haven't been discipled and trained up under an elder or someone older like Paul did with Timothy and Paul did with Titus. Paul, when he was Saul, let me take a sidebar really quick, you guys. Don't miss this. He was very educated. He was at the top of his class, so to speak, with his peers. And yet in his mind, he was delusioned. He had all this knowledge, all this insight, but he was delusioned because he was persecuting the people that followed Christ. Now, when he had his conversion and he became from Saul to Paul, right? In 3 days, he was blind and he had this conversion on the road to Damascus. It tells us in scripture that for 14 years, okay, highly educated, knew the Torah, knew the word, was a highly esteemed man in scripture. He took 14 years, and they call it the missing years of Paul, okay? During this time, he was not teaching. Why? Well, one, because he probably would be persecuted if he came out, you know, in the Jewish temple and tried to start teaching Christ. But number two is because there was parts of him that needed to be discipled and trained and renewed under Christ, under this new way of thinking. And what's happening here on social media is people who have come to Christ out of occult practices, Satanism, witchcraft, channeling, psychics, whatever you want, or just new Christians, are now stepping into a ministry online and teaching God's word, and they haven't been trained up, and they haven't been discipled, and they haven't, if I had to take a guess, even prayed about stepping out and teaching God's word on this level, and they're going to be held accountable. And some of us, I have a lot of clients that will come to me and say, I'm really confused. I was walking in my faith and then I started listening to so-and-so and now I'm confused. I don't know if I should be doing this. I don't know if I should be listening to this. And guys, here's the thing. You've got to take a step back. You've got to go back to basics. You have to read the Bible for yourself. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to any other person before you have a personal relationship with God and have an understanding. If you want to be taught by somebody, make sure that person has been trained up in the faith, that they exhibit fruit of the Spirit, that they're mature, even tempered, like Titus says, that they're kind, that they're not given over to anger outbursts. I mean, it's insane to me. Like even going back to Pastor Greg Locke, his anger just shines through him. And it's just unfortunate because he's a leader. So continuing on in this verse, it says, verse 11 in chapter 1 of Titus, whose mouths must be stopped. So it's talking about these vain talkers and deceivers. And he says their mouths need to be stopped. They subvert whole houses. They teach things that they should not be teaching. And they seek filthy gain. They seek gain for themselves. They seek their own popularity. They seek their own fame, their own followers, their own likes, their own idea of what they believe is truth and what isn't. And he goes on to say at the end of chapter 1, he says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good reprobate. Now, moving on to chapter 2, and this kind of touches into those that should be leaders of the church, those that you should be following, looking to for sound doctrine. It says that they should be sober, grave, temperate, which is self-controlled, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. They need to be kind. They need to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. They need to be showing this. And the women should be this also. They should have holiness. They should not be false accusers. Oh, hold on to that one. Hold on to that one. Not given to too much wine. And they should be teaching good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And you guys, here's the deal. It should be a pattern of good works. It should be showing uncorruptness. It should be showing sincerity. And what we're seeing today is a lot of people, whether they be pastors, a mega pastor like Greg Locke, or influencers online, they're not going about it correctly on how to, what they say is expose who is into false teachings. And the right way to do it is to go to them personally. This is always interpersonal. It's always interpersonal. The Bible is all about relationship. It's not about fake virtual relationships. It's not about virtual reality. In fact, it's supposed to be in reality. It's supposed to be person to person. And so the Bible says that if you believe someone is in error, you go to them personally, in person, not via email, not via DM, not via text message or half-heartedly in a podcast. You go to them personally and you tell them with love where they are in error. And if they understand scripture, then they'll be teachable and correctable. Okay. If they don't listen, then you bring along another person in person, not in DMs, not on a post on social media. You go to them in reality and you talk to them. Okay. These are the correct steps. And so these people are using their pages to call out what they think are false teachers. And while some of them may truly be false teachers, they don't do it in a way that is according to scripture. And what I'm seeing a lot of the times is you'll see people that will call someone a false teacher just very flippantly, very flippantly. Well, that's a false teacher. And they won't, because they don't agree with their theology or their interpretation of deliverance or the spiritual warfare world or even revelation or the rapture or once saved, always saved. Because they disagree with their theology or interpretation of that, people will slander another person on their page because they don't agree. And they immediately say they're false teachers. So could there be some truth in that? Absolutely. But there also is some deception in that. And their page is being used to annihilate the body of Christ, you guys. The Bible tells us that we are the arms and legs of Christ. So what these people who call themselves Christians are actually doing is setting up a chop shop. They're chopping off hands, feet, arms, legs, torsos of the body of Christ. And they're not only chopping off other people's limbs, because we're called, we're the body, right? They're chopping up the name of Christ himself. Because a brother and a sister in Christ, or a sister and a sister in Christ, they need to edify the body in a loving way before they think they should call somebody out on their social media page as a false teacher. And I personally am sick of this. I've been a victim of this, and I've had so many lies told about me by one or two people that I've never even met. I don't even know these people. One person I knew for less than a year, and I've never met them. I've never met them. And so how can they say and claim that I'm a false teacher, or that I'm teaching false doctrines, when they don't even know me? And this is what's happening. We should have the best interest in mind for those in the flock, in the body, right? We should look at them above reproach. And if we can go to them person to person, if you can't do that, can you have a phone call where you talk to them and you tell them, hey, this is where I think there's some error there. And if you agree to disagree, then so be it. You go your way, but you don't spend years slandering people and shoving their name on in the mud. That's not how the body of Christ works. And I don't know, guys, it's pretty disheartening, because although I think that there are aspects of Pastor Greg Locke that are not becoming of what Titus, the book of Titus, says a teacher should be, I'm not going to make a huge post about him exposing him unless the Lord leads me after weeks of prayer. I'm not going to do it, because if that's God's anointed and God's working out something in them that he needs to fulfill his purpose, then I'm going to be held accountable for what I've said against that person. And so it's kind of where I wanted to land today. I mean, I just almost feel like it's the minute somebody discovers something dramatic or scandalous about a person, they plaster it, they discover it, and then they plaster it again for likes and comments and follows and drama. And it's totally done in the context of thinking that they are exposing the darkness, right? They'll use that verse all the time. Expose the evil works of the darkness. Expose false teachers. And yet they're not doing it in a way that's scripturally accurate. And so it shows a lack of discernment. It shows a lack of wisdom. And this is where we've got to step back, you guys, and we have to take accountability for our actions. Look at the people we're following. Look at their fruit. And read the Bible for ourselves. Now, with that said, we've got to look at the other side to that. We have to show grace to our teachers and our pastors and those that are in the Christian community. Our pastors aren't going to get it right 100% of the time. That does not mean they're a false teacher. That does not mean it's a false teacher. In fact, the Bible tells us what to look for in a false teacher. Matthew 24:24 says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So this tells us right here, they're going to show signs and wonders to deceive. Okay, continuing on, you go down into the next verse and it talks about this. It says in 1 John 4:1-6, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world." This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is how you know, you guys, that somebody is a true believer in Christ. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not say that Jesus is from God. If they say that Jesus is not from God, this is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So you got to look at it, you guys. You got to have some wisdom. You have to have some time to wait and pray and watch somebody and do the research. Like we've all been said, oh my gosh, do the research, figure this out. Don't be spoon-fed. Same goes true to who you are following. And a lot of the times, these people that are calling out who they think, let me put the emphasis on that, they think are false teachers. Have you ever looked into them? Have you ever looked into their fruit, into their number of years under discipleship and coming to the Lord? Because what happens is these people will immediately be triggered because they've come out of highly spiritualized practices, whether it's in the occult or not, and they immediately believe that anything like speaking in tongues or casting out demons is immediately New Age or occultic. And that's just not the truth. The enemy perverts everything that God intended for good. And there is a spiritual realm. Paul tells us that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places, right? Dark forces, okay? Principalities and rulers. And these are demonic entities that are ruling in the spiritual realm to influence our flesh and our mind and our will and emotion. That doesn't mean you're possessed in your spirit, but it does mean that you can be oppressed in your soul, which in the Hebrew is your mind, will, and emotion, and your flesh. I mean, I am living proof of that. I have dealt with this personally, and I was a Christian for 30 years. And so when Reformed theologists or people will say on their Instagram pages, oh, there's no such thing as a spirit of this and a spirit of that, that just shows you that they don't even understand what they're talking about. Because the Bible clearly says there are spirits, a spirit of meekness, a spirit of disobedience, a spirit of rebellion. The Bible talks about that. A spirit is a pneuma. It's air. It's a agitation. And a spirit, a demonic spirit, needs a temple, a body to reside in, to activate it. And so sometimes you'll see people and they will act out and they'll say, gosh, I don't even know what came over me. Now you add in drugs, abuse, alcohol to that, you're just opening the door up to be influenced and to be utilized almost like a puppet by the spiritual realm. And the Bible tells us that you break a hedge, the serpent will bite. And so I think a lot of people, specifically with spiritual warfare, they believe that once they come to know Christ, they can live any way they want and no spiritual attacks are ever going to come at them. Okay, that's the extreme version of it. And now I will say this, there's always going to be the extremes. There's always this pendulum swing to the right or to the left. Yes, are there deliverance ministries out there that are way extreme? Absolutely. Does that mean that I throw the baby out with the bathwater? No, because deliverance is a necessary part of progressive sanctification. I still need deliverance. I need deliverance from thoughts that I have. I need deliverance from patterns and actions that I do. That is true deliverance, you guys. It's not necessarily this casting out of a demon. And you know, that's kind of Greg Locke's thing. He kind of represents that idea of this mass deliverance, which I personally don't agree with. Because who is following up with these people? Who is walking out the faith and discipling these people after these demons have been cast out? Because the Bible clearly says that seven more will come. So if you keep sinning and you keep doing that, they're coming back. And we've got to understand this in the context, and we have to define things, and we have to seek for clarification and for peace. And that is just not happening online, in social media, even in pastoral debates with Pastor Greg and Pastor Dean. You clearly saw Pastor Dean seeking to clarify, seeking for clarification and truth. And Pastor Greg was unteachable. He thinks he knows it all. He clearly has no respect for his elder brother in Christ. And it showed. It really showed. And I'm not blaming him. We all have faults. But if you're going to step into a leadership position, whether it's online or in a church, or a teacher like myself, I teach Bible studies online. I take that very seriously. I do verse by verse because I do not want to mislead people in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to mislead people with faulty truths in my studies because I will be held accountable for that. And same goes true for social media, for Instagram, for me. This is why I don't post a lot of deep theological or biblical concepts on a post, because so much can be misconstrued. So much can be mistaken. So many people get triggered and start this combative back and forth in the comments. And I don't want to be a part of that. I really don't. And so this is why I I like to talk on podcasts because I can explain myself and you can hear exactly where this comes from a scriptural standpoint, where you can look at it more objectively than you can in a caption on a post. So I want to leave you guys with hope. And I really just wanted to do a short little podcast today because I wanted to touch on this topic. But I encourage you guys, leaving all of this, have grace. Everything you say should be with a posture of love, should be with a posture of humility, with a posture of servitude, looking to edify the body of Christ, not chop off the body of Christ's hands, feet, arms, and legs. Okay. I know that's a graphic, but it literally is that. It's this idea of this kind of mayhem of this madness where we're just leaving wreckage everywhere we go. And just because we're online doesn't mean that we're not going to be held accountable. It doesn't mean that your words don't have impact. I know personally for me, it wreaks havoc when I'm a real person. I'm a real person here. And when somebody makes false claims and false lies about me, it wreaks havoc not only on me and my life, but on the body of Christ. And that should be more important than you feeling as if you need to be the victor in your story and your version of truth. We got to look out for one another. And so I hope that this gives you guys some understanding. I hope that you start to test people and start to test those that you are following online. And again, have grace for people. We're not going to be perfect, but it shouldn't be a habitual, consistent pattern of anger, gossip, strife, vitriol. If it happens every once in a while, okay, that's fine. But if people are continuing to exhibit this type of behavior, that is a red flag. Mark and avoid. And so I hope you guys learned something from this today. And I hope that this helps you be more sober-minded and vigilant as you navigate online, the virtual reality, but also remembering that we need to nurture those people in real life. Have personal relationships. Get off of our devices, get off of online, nurture the relationships that are right in front of you. So hope this leaves you guys with hope and have a wonderful rest of the week. I have an interview lined up for you guys next week. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be a really good one about the red-haired Lovelock giant. So stay tuned, you guys. Hope you all have a great week.